For the next two Wednesdays, we're going to have a special couple of almost a series type of teaching for you guys. And at the end of it, next Wednesday, we're going to have some resources for you put out by the at-home room that you're going to be able to take with you to apply what you've learned and actually apply it to your families. With that, I want to introduce the guest speaker for tonight, somebody I really respect and love, a great young man, and most of you know him, our junior high pastor, Pastor David. Yeah. I don't know where he is.
I like that we always clap at the beginning and get it out of the way. How are you guys? Good? All right. If you have your Bibles, which I'm assuming, I hope you do, I pray you do, open up to Ephesians chapter 5. And as you begin to thumb through and find it, just a disclaimer this evening, I think, that as Pastor Jeff asked us to address a specific topic tonight, it's one that has proven to ruffle people's feathers and challenge their hearts. And so we're going to walk through a bit of scripture, going to look at a whole lot of truth, and the conclusion at the end will be up to you what you do with it. And I think that's my favorite thing about the Lord. He doesn't hold much back from us. He opens our eyes to reality. He presents truth to us, but the decision is ours, whether we'll take hold of it and walk with it or whether we'll leave it here tonight. And before we get to the end, I just want to challenge you to really not run out of here with your hair on fire, not go home sad and depressed and beat yourself up, but to really just think through what God would have you do. What's the topic? The topic is kind of twofold, that tonight he asked us to address in a very real way the influence of technology and media in our world. And does the Bible talk about technology and media? In fact, it does. It very much does. Because as it's said throughout Scripture, there's nothing new under the sun. And so they may have not had iPads, they may have not had tablets and smartphones, they may have not had even flashlights just yet, but they had plenty of distractions. And we think about technology, what is it? It is a massive, massive distraction in most people's lives. And so, if you guys have found Ephesians chapter 5, let's pray. Father, tonight, God, we turn our attention, our ears, our eyes, and Lord, most importantly, our hearts to you. God, that you would stir up within us, Lord, a teachable heart. God, if need be, a rebukable heart. Lord, for some, just a heart that needs encouragement tonight, meet them where they are, God, and ask that your bride would just be a little bit cleaner tonight. And Lord, should you choose to come and interrupt this, you're more than welcome to, Father. In Jesus' name, we all prayed. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll get in Ephesians 5 in a second, but I want to ask you a question, a real question. How important is it to be obedient and in pursuit of God within your homes and your personal lives? Well, very, right? And we could all pass a test. Even a non-believer could sneak in here and learn to pass the biblical test. How important is it to be in a personal pursuit of God within your own homes? And we would all bubble in a 100% importance. But not how important do you think it is, how important does your life say it is? Because our knowledge and our actions don't always line up. And I think God is more concerned with the church's actions today than its mind. And technology is one of those things in so many different forms that creeps in and tries to distract us from truth, distract us from a relationship with the Lord. When you begin to look through the Bible, how important is it to take God serious within your own home and your personal life? It's incredibly serious. If you've read any part of the Bible, pretty quickly you get to this portion where Israel is enslaved to Egypt and Pharaoh is this just over the top taskmaster. He begins to expect things that are just humanly impossible. And God sends Moses. He says, I have heard my people crying out to me. And Moses goes, and he's up for quite a fight, an opposition. And he confronts Pharaoh multiple times with the word of God and prophecy and says, look, things are coming. And multiple times he shut down. And you get all the way to the last plague, and they're warned that if you do not put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of your own home, your firstborn will die. Things came, things went. Israel was obedient, Egypt was not. And it says, the night that the Lord came, Pharaoh woke up, his servants woke up, all of Egypt woke up in the midst of the night to find their firstborn dead in their own home. Could have been avoided. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't some secret. It wasn't an elite club. It was the truth made known to the world at that time, that if you would just cover the doorpost of your house with the blood of the Lamb, I will pass over and my judgment will not fall. And so we wonder, how important is it to take God at His word in our home? Very, very important. More important than you and I, because there's a generation that's dependent upon our obedience to Christ, our love for Jesus. We're called to be aware of the will of God. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." This word says, I want you to see your life from every perspective possible. Walk around and look at your opportunities and decisions and emotions and relationships. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming, taking advantage of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise." It says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That you and I are called and almost expected to know the will of God for our lives. How does that work? How do you find it? You find it in a pursuit of Him. Not knowing all the right answers, but a heart that is bent on applying the truth to our lives. To understand what the will of the Lord is, it's this incredible word to understand. It means to join together in your mind, the way that an investigator would maybe show up and begin to collect all of the different evidence at a scene, and he sits down at his desk and begins to look at it and comb through it, and what do? They go over it, and they go over it, and they go over it until the dots begin to connect, and they see things more clearly than they once were. And God says, I want to sit down with you, and I want to have a relationship, and I want to talk, and I want you to talk to me, and we're going to begin to connect the dots about your life, and you're going to find out what my will is for you. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We'll come back to that in a minute. It says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Look at verse 9. It says, speaking to one another. I mean, I'm not asking you to serenade anybody tonight and start going out in the parking lot and singing hymns to one another just yet, but speaking to one another. I don't know about you, but it's getting very weary that everywhere you go, there's an odd silence. That I'm a fairly young person. I don't think I'm all that old just yet. I'm getting there. But I remember when people talked. I remember when they actually sat down at a table together and enjoyed dinner. They weren't busy on their iPad on this corner, phone on that side. I remember when parents used to talk with their kids and kids used to talk with their parents. I remember it. It wasn't always interesting. It wasn't always funny. It wasn't always fun. But it was real. I wonder if the bride of Christ is so distracted from reality that we can't discern eternity anymore. It's not that we hate God. I don't think anyone hates God in here, at least. But that we've been distracted from Him, that we've begun to grow lukewarm. What do distractions breed? Distractions just breed lukewarmness. Not hot, not cold. There's an awesome little clip. Maybe some of you guys have seen this. I just want you to show you this. Very well put, the day and the battle that we are fighting. It'll be up on the screens here. It's like a 3-minute little poem someone wrote with a really cool accent.
I have 422 friends, yet I'm lonely. I speak to all of them every day, yet none of them really know me. The problem I have sits in the spaces between, looking into their eyes or at a name on a screen. I took a step back and opened my eyes. I looked around and realised that this media we call social is anything but when we open our computers and it's our doors we shut. All this technology we have, it's just an illusion. Community, companionship, a sense of inclusion. Yet when you step away from this device of delusion, you awaken to see a world of confusion, a world of self-interest, self-image, self-promotion, where we all share our best bits but leave out the emotion. We're at our most happy with an experience we share, but is it the same if no one is there? Be there for your friends and they'll be there too, but no one will be if a group message will do. We edit and exaggerate, crave adulation. We pretend not to notice the social isolation. We put our words into order until our lives are glistening. We don't even know if anyone is listening. Being alone isn't the problem. Let me just emphasize, if you read a book, paint a picture, or do some exercise, you're being productive and present, not reserved and recluse. You're being awake and attentive and putting your time to good use. So when you're in public and you start to feel alone, put your hands behind your head, step away from the phone. You don't need to stare at your menu or at your contact list. Just talk to one another. Learn to coexist. I can't stand to hear the silence of a busy commuter train where no one wants to talk through the fear of looking insane. We're becoming unsocial. It no longer satisfies to engage with one another and look into someone's eyes. We're surrounded by children who, since they were born, have watched us living like robots and think it's the norm. It's not very likely you'll make world's greatest dad if you can't entertain a child without using an iPad. When I was a child, I'd never be home. Be out with my friends on our bikes, we would roam. I'd wear holes in my trainers and graze up my knees. We'd build our own clubhouse high up in the trees. Now the park's so quiet, it gives me a chill. See no children outside and the swings hanging still. There's no skipping, no hopscotch, no church and no steeple. We're a generation of idiots, smartphones and dumb people. So look up from your phone, shut down the display. Take in your surroundings, make the most of today. Just one real connection is all it can take to show you the difference that being there can make. Be there in the moment that she gives you the look that you remember forever as when love overtook. The time she first holds your hand or first kiss your lips. The time you first disagree but still love her to bits. The time you don't have to tell hundreds of what you've just done because you want to share this moment with just this one. The time you sell your computer so you can buy a ring for the girl of your dreams who is now the real thing. The time you want to start a family and the moment when you first hold your little girl and get to fall in love again. The time she keeps you up at night and all you want is rest. And the time you wipe away the tears as your baby flees the nest. The time your baby girl returns with a boy for you to hold, and the time he calls you granddad and makes you feel real old. The time you take in all you've made just by giving life attention, and how you're glad you didn't waste it by looking down at some invention. The time you hold your wife's hand, sit down beside her bed, you tell her that you love her, lay a kiss upon her head. She then whispers to you quietly, as her heart gives a final beat, that she's lucky she got stopped by that lost boy in the street. But none of these times ever happened. You never had any of this. When you're too busy looking down, you don't see the chances you miss. So look up from your phone, shut down those displays. We have a finite existence, a set number of days. Don't waste your life getting caught in the net, as when the end comes, nothing's worse than regret. I'm guilty too of being part of this machine, this digital world we are heard but not seen, where we type as we talk and we read as we chat, where we spend hours together without making eye contact. So don't give in to a life where you follow the hype. Give people your love, don't give them your like. Disconnect from the need to be heard and defined. Go out into the world, leave distractions behind. Look up from your phone, shut down that display. Stop watching this video, live life the real way.
I used to think we were losing our youth to technology. I used to think we were losing them to social media. I used to think that they were beginning to fade away into a waste we couldn't get them back from. I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe we're losing them to technology. I believe we are giving them away to it. Because there's no child that saved up hundreds of dollars to buy their own devices. It was handed to them by us. There's no child that should be expected to figure out how to define right and wrong and how much is too much and how far is too far. And it's you and I. And honestly, as you begin to look at the statistics, that we have begun to hand away the life of our kids. Not one of us is any more guilty than the other. And tonight's not a night to begin to beat yourself up and run out of here and quit. It's maybe just time to dig in a little deeper, to be refocused. And it's crazy that when you begin to look in homes and our own lives and the dinner table and the cars driving by you down the street, we're accepting a life of isolation and we're teaching our children that they don't actually need us. That the disconnect is okay, that the isolation is fine, and then we wonder why depression and insomnia and loneliness is setting in ways that I've never seen before. People waking up 18, 19, 20 years old after a life spent on a screen, investing into a world that does not exist, trying to find out why they have no life skills and can't communicate with anybody. It's a terrifying reality. But the fun part is it's not too late. Now, the one part we've got to wrestle with for a minute, if you're anything like me, and I know there's so many people love what technology offers, and technology does incredible things. Incredible things. For me, I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I think just seeing the division and the destruction and the temptation and the things that get sown into hearts and homes through it, it just rattles my cage in a little bit different of a way. But it's not evil. Technology is not evil. It's an inanimate object. And no more than a brick could be evil. A cell phone's not evil. A tablet's not evil. A gaming system's not evil. A computer's not evil. The internet's not evil. It's a tool. It's an opportunity to be used for good or for bad. And so tonight, for a little while, I just want to go through some realities that have come up, because if we're to be honest, technology jumped us, right? I did not grow up with it. It was around. A few people had it, but for us, most of us were introduced to technology sometime in our life, and it came like a wave. It was a flood of opportunities and advancements. You can't even keep up anymore with all the development of technology. And all the studies are beginning to catch up, a few decades late maybe, but they're beginning to catch up nonetheless. And as we're handing out technology like candy to kids, it's not them, it's us. That tonight I want to talk to us. Real quick, if I could ask, how many of you guys are currently parents? Your kids are at home still. Parents of newborn through grade school, real high. Okay, I'm with you. It's hard. It's exhausting. It's crazy. But it's not time to give up. How about teenagers? Those super simple, loving, kind, gentle. Yeah. Okay, how many parents and your kids they've flown out of the nest? Okay. How many kids are in here? Any kids? There's got to be a few. Oh, yeah, all right. Cool. Here's the deal. Tonight, I'm going to machine gun you with a whole lot of information, if that's okay. Typically, not the way I like to do things, but it opens our eyes to reality. Because today, we need a heart check, and we need to see things the way that they are. New research has found that 97% of children within the United States under age 4 use mobile devices regardless of family income. 97% of 4-year-olds down to 1, actually 6 months is as low as they went in this current study, 97% are currently having access to technology on a fairly consistent status or basis. A study authored Dr. Mathilde, I believe is how you pronounce it, the chair of the Department of Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine at Albert Einstein Medical Center. She's smart, okay? She said that she was surprised by some of her findings. She goes on, says, the findings noted an almost universal exposure to mobile devices, indicating that such technological luxuries are not limited to financially well-off families. In fact, parents' education, the child's gender, and ethnicity did not play a role in whether a child owned a mobile device. And it goes on and it begins to talk about, of this 97%, so we can pretty much say most kids, 50% of them, 50% of these kids frequently multitask. What is multitasking? What are we talking about? They're on their device and they're watching TV at the same time, or they have the tablet and the phone, but they're doing multiple things. 50% of them. So you have 97% who have access to it at some point in their day, and of them, they're doing more than one form of social media or just technology at a time. Again, 20% of 1-year-olds have their own tablet. Now, I'm sure they didn't go out and buy it at 12 months old. They can't even talk yet, but there is a device in the home that's dedicated to baby. This is what entertains baby. This is what puts baby to sleep. This is what walks baby down the street. This is what keeps baby quiet in the car. This is for baby. You and I are for baby. 50%, right, have their own device. 20% can already multitask at 1 year old. Unfortunately, 28% of two-year-olds know how to operate their own devices. 28% of two-year-olds can navigate a mobile device without help, meaning if you just hand it to a two-year-old, can barely walk, can't quite talk or communicate, but they can slide that thing open, find their app, start their game, and play away without any help whatsoever. What? Well, and then we step back and like, oh, actually, I've seen that. This isn't a far-off, distant land somewhere in the future. This is our current culture now, down the street, and for some, maybe even back at home. It's not a respecter of income, education, or race, is what the studies have found. What about Instagram and Facebook, right? We love these things. They're interesting. They kill time, probably too much time, and they are killing it. That's the perfect way to say it. But what about it? The explosion that is still happening. In 2013, there were 33 million users on Instagram. If you're not familiar with Instagram, it's a bunch of pictures. Okay, whatever. You put your own picture up and hope someone likes it. They're not actually liking you, by the way. They just like your picture. Remember the difference. Please don't shoot the messenger. 2013, 33 million users on Instagram in 2 years. Now, 2015, just 6 months ago, this poll came out. It jumped from 33 million to 400 million users in 2 years. That's a 12 times explosion in the people that are on it. And by the way, 75% of people on that version of social media do not live in the United States of America. So we have access to the world every minute of the day. Facebook, what about Facebook? Isn't that dying off? I thought so, but no. 2014, so 2 years ago, 1 billion active users. They hit their 1 billion active users on mobile devices. This is not accounting phones or landlines of any kind. We're talking about 1 billion users on mobile devices just 2 years ago. Last year, at the close of last year, right around Christmas, they hit 1.59 billion active users. That was a growth, a one-year growth by 590 million more people added in 2015. What is that? If each one of them gave us a penny, we'd be happy, right? That's a lot of people. Social media and children, right? We talk about technology. Technology is such a big word. We're talking about gaming. We're talking about computers. We're talking about social media. We're talking about tablets. What are we talking about? When you talk about social media, Facebook, Instagram, connecting with other people on the other side of this device, the amount of children who have their own tablet has nearly doubled in the last year, and kids and their usage, right? There was a survey that was done in just 2 years. It used to be 38% of kids. It's jumped now to almost 80% of kids who are constantly using. By the way, that 80% is 8-year-olds and under. 28% of parents said they use mobile devices to put their children to sleep at night. It's easy. It is. And I understand, if you're raising small kids, it is exhausting, isn't it? It's crazy. And those of you that have done it, you're like, yep, I remember. Look at all my gray hair. I remember. We're still in it. So what do you do when you're tired and you have nothing left at the end of the day? What do you do? You don't give up. Please don't give up. This is not the day to surrender our children or this culture to the world. Are electronics really worth it? That's what the question right now. And we're going to run through a couple things. A lot of studies have come out in the last 24 months, and specifically last 5 years for sure. But are electronics, is it worth it? Is it fun? Oh, it's fun. How do you guys enjoy the computers in your pocket? You're like, wait, what? You're like, I don't have a computer. Your phone is not a phone. You understand this, right? Your phone is a computer that fits in your pocket that could make phone calls if you wanted to, but we don't like doing that anymore. We send text, but we don't have to type. We just tell it what to say on the other side. We do emails through it. We do graphic design through it now. We can surf the web. You can do video and post it to YouTube. You can download stuff. You can print from your phone, and you could make a call, but we don't like to do that. But it's a phone. It's not a phone. And we hand them out like candy. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. It's not a phone. Is it really worth it? It's fun. I agree. It's cool. But is it worth it? Brain development. You're going to hear a whole lot of good stuff real quick here. If I go too fast, wave at me or something. I'll slow down. All right? Brain development in a child, in youth, what is it like? How does it work? Well, Dr. Gary Small, director of Longevity Center at the University of California in Los Angeles, said, "We do know that the brain is highly sensitive to stimuli like iPads and smartphone screens. And if people spend too much time with one technology and less time interacting with people like parents at the dinner table, that could hinder the development of certain communication skills." Fact. It goes on, an article that was published called "Brain Development in a Hyper-Tech World," published by the Dana Foundation. It uncovered a fact that the brain is still developing its wiring. It's figuring out who am I up into your early 20s, all right? And the article goes on. It says the frontal lobe, the part which deals with high-level cognitive skills such as judgment, right from wrong, good and bad, executive control, emotional regulation, like it's not okay to beat up your brother because he beat you at a video game. Emotional regulation, these things develop last, and while it is developing, can be influenced by its environment. And so we have youth growing up, they're in their most formidable time ever of figuring out, how do I respond to sister? How do I deal with my friend that just betrayed me? What do I do with the temptations, and how do I act? And their greatest influence, I ask you this, what is our kids' greatest influence? What are the top three most influential things in our children's lives? Are you one of them? We'd all answer a little differently. Teachers, friends, technology, TV. Hopefully you're on there. Learning to be alone is wildly important, and yet so many people have no clue how to do it. Goes on, David, Dr. David, points out, not me, by the way, never be a doctor. The Huffington Post, brain development, how much TV should children be watching? This is wild. Exposure to television also discourages children from reading and increases their desire for material goods. You ever been around a kid at Christmas? Okay, the more they watch TV, the more their mind is stimulated, the more stuff they want. A child's language acquisition can be stunted by too much time in front of television. Too much time with passive electronics can also make it more difficult for children to develop social skills and understand the consequences of their actions. And so now we're meeting 14, 15, 16, 18, 20-year-old people who can't understand why they're in trouble. And we look at them like, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with them. They're living the way they've been taught. Selfishness is fine. Self-seeking is absolutely acceptable. Materialism is king. And paying attention is irrelevant. And I don't need people. I just need my stuff. They're not odd or weird. They're the way they've been taught to be. What about attention problems? We all have attention problems, right? Every one of us have attention problems. But has it increased in the last few years? I'll tell you, yes. We've been in youth ministry, or I have been for almost a decade now, and things have changed a lot. What else has changed besides the kids? Their influences have changed a lot, and so has too their brain, their mind, the way they function. Another recent study tracked a group of kids across time. Exposure to television at a young age. This is a wild study that they did. They watched them from the time they were born all the way through till the time they were about 10 years old and found out kids that were exposed to a large amount of television and technology from ages 1 through 3 had difficult time learning and paying attention. They had attention problems at age 7. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the things that you plant now you may not see the result of. But then a few years go by, they enter second grade, they're about 7 years old, they're supposed to pay attention, and they can't because for the last few years, every 2 minutes, something is changing in front of them all of the time. And now we want them to just knock it off. Ain't gonna happen. They're not broken. They're not messed up. They're who they've been taught to be. It goes on, this is wild, the American Academy of Pediatrics. Smart people, good group. TV does nothing to help the intellectual or social development of children under age 2, despite the heavy marketing of educational programs for them. Moreover, a half a dozen studies have correlated TV in the early years with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder later in childhood. What do you mean? Rise in ADHD, along with rise in technology. Easy to connect the dots here. Now, is ADHD the end of the world? Is ADD the end of the world? Absolutely not. It might be a hurdle that you need to learn how to manage, but you, as you know, you've heard before, I would assume, some of our most brilliant minds and innovators had attention deficit problems. I think it was Albert Einstein, right? He couldn't focus for nothing, and he couldn't speak till he was like 9, and yet we know him to be one of the greatest brains that ever lived. Incredible man. But from ages, what if it was Sesame Street? Anybody grew up on Sesame Street? Right? The Cookie Monster. Oh, and Oscar the Grouch, and we're kind of like both of them put together sometimes. There's Blue's Clues that goes on. I mean, the list is long. They're learning shapes and colors. No, they're learning nothing. They're learning to zone out. That's what they're doing. The studies have found out they're not learning shapes and colors and words and A says ah. They're learning to turn off every part of their mind except for the little piece that glows and just watches the lights flicker. And years later, we catch up with it. Attention problems. They're real. It's not the end of the world, but they are real, and they are avoidable to some part. While we're so busy paying attention to our phones and our tablets and our TVs and our computers, we were encouraged by Jesus to be busy about our Father's business. Not to be investing into a world that doesn't quite exist. What about sleeping problems? We're talking a lot about kids. We are. Because kids matter. But do you guys ever have a hard time sleeping? Sometimes. There has been such a dramatic rise and increase in people reporting difficult time sleeping, insomnia, can't go to bed at night. They're awake all into the hours of the early morning. Why? What's going on? And how come this didn't exist at such a massive epidemic rate more than 10, 15, 20 years ago? Well, something came up about 10, 15, 20 years ago that got our attention. What was it? The advent of the internet and technology. Although many parents, the American Academy of Pediatrics goes on sleep problems, although many parents try to use TV as a way to help kids wind down before bed, allowing children screen time before bed can actually interfere with their sleep and cause them to stay up later. Biomed Central Open Access Journal, another group of really good guys, the greater the e-media use was at the start of the study, the shorter the sleep duration at the later, and the later the bedtime was 18 months after the study had begun. The academics suggest that where children are struggling to sleep or are tired, their media habits should be taken into consideration. Wait, what? The stimulus in their mind is more than they can handle. And by the way, the statistics are true for you and I. It doesn't change. It's not because they're kids. It's the human mind. It cannot handle the amount of information flooding into the brain that fast. And so even if you're doing your thing, you're surfing the web, you're jumping from one article to the other, and you're checking your social media and your emails, and you're back to do one more check on Instagram, you're going to post something, comment on your friend, and you're out, you are probably going to begin to experience sleeplessness, stress, and a whole lot of other difficulties. And you know what's funny? Kids play games, we get on our phones, and then we can't sleep. So what do? Oh, just get back on the phone. I can't sleep, let me get more. Sounds like a drug addict. Doesn't it? Dr. King says, we have found that more than 70% of adolescents are not receiving optimal sleep during the week. 70% of kids are showing up to school tired. During the week, with use of electronic media delaying the time they go to bed, interrupting them during the night, and leading to longer times to achieve a deep sleep. Lack of sleep can have significant health and mental health effects on young people and can lead to problems with learning and concentration, poor eating habits, and a range of other behaviors that are either unhealthy or undesirable. Okay, what about grown-ups? Same thing. I mean, this goes on and on and on and on and on and on. I don't think we need to talk about how you get moody and grumpy when you don't sleep. But what about fear and anxiety? Do those set in more? They're reporting the more that people, adults specifically, the more social media that we are on, the more anxiety we encounter. They're totally correlated. Increased aggression. We have a study by the Palo Alto Medical Foundation, but I'm sure you could study your own living room, right? Increase in aggression during video games? Are you sure? I don't know. Teens who spend a significant amount of time playing violent video games or watching violent television shows are more likely to fight with their peers, argue with their teachers, and generally engage in more aggressive behavior. It's like, thanks, I had no idea. You know, it's crazy, you think like Modern Warfare and all these crazy combat shows. No, we're talking about things like Mario Kart. You're like, Mario Kart? If you're not familiar, it's these cars that drive around, try and bump each other off the road and blast each other so you can pass them and get first place. Kind of like what you do on the freeway. And then we wonder why our kids yell at each other like you yell at people on the freeway. What is it? It's more than just a challenge. Oh, they're just competitive. It feeds a part of the human mind that cannot control itself. What about the addiction portion of it all? Is it really an addiction? I mean, can you really be addicted to technology? Yep. Absolutely. There are a number of studies showing video games and a whole lot of other things, social media, technology, tablets, phones, right? You get the list. Increase aggressive behavior, increase emotional outbursts, decrease inhibitions, increase anxiety, fear, aggression, and insomnia. I want to pause for a second. Decrease inhibitions. Have you noticed that when you try and take this stuff away from someone, they look at you like they're lost? Their life's meaningless. Why don't you go outside? And do what? Go through a rock. Why? Like, do something. It eats up their identity and takes away their desire to do anything else. It has the same influence that drugs do. The longer you're around it, the more of it you want, and the more irritable you get when someone tries to take it away from you. Isn't that what drugs do? And yet we hand it to our kids at 6 months old. We hang it over their car seats, or we let them fall asleep to this glowing screen. We have taught them to be hooked because it stimulates the mind and it creates something that reality can't create. So reality will never be satisfying enough. Dr. King was asked, Keith Baker says, but can a game truly become an addiction, a real clinical addiction? Great question. Good answer. Absolutely, Dr. Keith Baker says, it's a clinical impulse control disorder, an addiction in the same sense as compulsive gambling. Same exact thing. The definition of addiction. What is it? What is the definition of addiction? There's two parts. You have to meet both in order to be actually addicted to something. One, the person needs more and more of a substance or behavior to keep him going. Do you need more? You first got it. It was cool to play like for a little bit in the morning, but then you check in at lunch, but then it's lunch and dinner, and then at dinner afterwards you're checking in, and then, oh, more. The second part, right? If the person does not get more of the substance or behavior, he becomes irritable or miserable. And half of you guys are beginning to cross your arms and you don't like me and you want to walk out because I'm talking about your phone. Hold on. You might be addicted. Wait, what? Yes, we touch the thing you love most. Even suggest, hey, you're on it too much. What? If you talk to a drug addict or someone that's just stuck on alcoholism, it's like, hey, you got a problem, man. You're on this way too much. We need to talk and we're going to help you. You need to step away. You need to wake up to reality. Man, who are you? Don't judge me. Leave me alone. And you say, hey, you're on your phone too much. I think you need to take a break. Hey, man, who are you? Don't judge me. Leave me alone. It's like, I think there's something bigger going on here. Is everyone addicted? No. Is it evil in and of itself? Absolutely not. But have we become responsible keepers of the next generation? It's up for debate still. We'll see. Give it a few years. This is crazy. Gosh, about 6 years ago now, we were up with the junior high kids here in Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. This is hilarious. Before smartphones were really given out, all they could do was text. Remember when texting was super cool? We literally had a girl strain her thumb because she texts so much. We had kids coming in. Bro, my parents are so mad. What happened? I was texting like forever all month and they got a $1,500 bill. And I'm like, what? Like, this is crazy. We've moved on, right? We have cool phones, smartphones, games, media. It's all free now, or it's included in the monthly charge. But what is going on? Back then, we talked about fasting, right? This idea of giving up something that your flesh loves and pursuing God more. Even if it's just for a day, but introduce fasting. They should get it by junior high. I mean, they can do a whole lot of other things. Why not seek God? And so you begin to talk about fasting, and then you get to the end of it. Guys, we're going to fast for a week together. But instead of giving up food and water, we're going to challenge you, put down your phones for a week. They were not smartphones. They could only text and call. They were still phones, technically. They look at you like, what? What do you mean? I was like, okay, hold on. Can I ask you guys a question? Yeah, okay, sure. Okay. How many of you, if you had the option to either, one, give up food and water and keep your phone for a week, or two, give up your phone and you can still eat and drink? 90% of that room said, I'd rather give up food and water than my phone. 6 years ago, junior high, that would put your kids in college. Things have advanced a lot since then, but it's a real issue. What about family time, right? Family time. The average American spends 22 and a half hours a week on some form of technology, not including the TV. Not including the TV. And only 8 hours together. Family time has dropped more than 30% since the advancement of the internet. Since the internet was launched, family time has decreased 30%. You and I would never talk to our kids and be an advocate for divorce. We'd never, never do that. But we seem to be very okay with division and isolation. I don't understand why. It's in us, though. We like, oh, the kids, and oh, we need to be better and more responsible. You know what's funny? Your kids aren't the problem. We're the problem. What? If you look at the studies, not that we are the problem, we have the problem. Do you know the majority of social media, we won't call us addicts tonight because we don't like that. We frequent social media often, okay? Who is the greatest, what's the greatest age group of people who are consistently going back and back for more and more and more? It's not junior hires. It's not high schoolers. It's not college people. It's 25 to 55-year-olds who go more and more and more. 17 times a day is the average that you're checking in with some form of media. 17 times a day? That's once an hour for your waking hours. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you like math. I love math because it's always right. Unless you do it wrong, it's always right, okay? Math is awesome. It shows us some pretty cool things. So if you'll bear with me, if you don't like math, how many of you guys are like, I hate math? Okay, well, tonight you're getting a free math class. Let's apply math. You remember asking the question, what's math ever going to do for my life? Well, tonight, here you go, okay? If we, on average, check in with our phone, tablet, media, social something 17 times a day, that's once an hour, okay? Once an hour. Let's say, okay, is that realistic? Yeah, it kind of is. What does that mean? Oh, you wake up and you just flip through real quick before you get out of bed. And then you brush your teeth and you eat breakfast, and so you check it real quick. And then you got somewhere early, so why talk to people? You just check it for a little while. And then, you know, you go to the bathroom could stop anybody. So you're checking that when you got to use the restroom. And then you go to lunch, and then on your way home, you're in traffic, so you're not really on your phone. It's over there just glancing at your phone. And then you get home, and you're worn out. You need to unwind. Even though it's winding you up, you need to unwind. So you're on your phone for just 10 minutes. You with me so far? Let's just say you check your phone once an hour for 10 minutes, and that's easy. Check a couple emails, send a text, check with Instagram, post something on Facebook, and you're done. Very easy. 10 minutes. Once an hour, 17 hours. Well, 10 minutes, once an hour, 17 hours, comes up to be 17 hours a day. No, a week. Just kidding. 17 hours. I messed up. 170 minutes. What did I write? There you go. Oh, I didn't mess up. 10 minutes every hour for 17 hours. That's 170 minutes every single day you're on some version of technology, not including your computer or television. Okay? I work. I know you work. You work hard, but that's what we're talking about. You also play a lot. 170 minutes every single day you are checking in with some version of media. All right, well, what does that look like in a week? In a week, 1,190 minutes every week, or 19 hours a week, you are checking in with some kind of media. What a week. What about, do we dare? What about in a year? 1,031 hours every year. That's 64 days of uninterrupted time on your mobile device. That's 2 out of 12 months. You know, every 6 years, you're giving up a year of your life. Every 6 years, you may as well give in one up. You live 60 years with technology, you gave up a decade of your life of uninterrupted time on media. It's terrifying. And then I wonder, what are our kids doing when we're not watching for that 2 months out of the year? What memories would we have had with our husband or our wife when we're giving up 2 months out of the year? What could we have learned? What more could we have done? How well could we have known the Lord? How much more would we have appreciated him? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I'm not saying, and please, as we begin to wrap this up, don't run out of here and take all your devices, put them in the trash can, light it on fire when you get home, okay? That's what I want to do. Don't do that. Your kids are going to wake up in the morning and you're boiling their technology for breakfast. Like, ah! Like, don't. But don't ignore it either, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll give you a minute to find it if you'd like. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starting in verse 5, it tells us this incredible opportunity that we have within our own homes. That place that the Lord said, you better cover the door and the mantle of your home with the blood of the Lamb, or there's going to be some very serious sacrifice. That opportunity, that place to know and obey and to love the Lord is incredible. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse chapter 6, starting in verse 5, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them. Isn't it weird that that's important now? It used to be common then. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently, and you shall talk to your children. When you sit down in your house, do they hear about the Lord? Not read about them. You are to be their greatest source, their greatest example of godly love. When you sit in your house, they're supposed to be, their day should be seasoned with the reality of God. When you sit in your house, where's the next place? When you walk by the way, you go grab the mail, lay down on the sidewalk and look at the moon and tell them who made it. You drive to get milk, they go with you. Don't let them jump on their phone. Talk to them. You have wisdom that needs to be shared with your son or your daughter. Read Proverbs and see this king pouring out his heart to his son. And it's in this book. Pour your heart out to your kids. I'm telling you right now. There were few and far between, but I'll never forget the little things that older people told me throughout my life. They made their mark, not in the moment, but later on, as you grow up, those seeds begin to grow also. In your house, when you walk by the way, when you rise up and when you lie down, when they go to bed at night, is your prayer the last thing they're hearing? When they wake up in the morning, is it this dumb, silly, Dad, you're so weird. I know, but this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah, like, I mean, come on. Childlike faith, right? I'm okay with that. You're like, you're weird. I'm happy. Like, I wonder, do they remember us? Will they remember it? Man, my parents always tucked me in at night, and they prayed, and they told me, man, Jesus loves you. Will they remember the fading screen in a lonely room? Will they remember your voice and your insight and your kind of crazy comments when you went for these random walks to grab the mail or the milk? Or it will just be the back of their phone covering your face that they remember when they look to you. What about the long, crazy, endless drives in the car? Chaos, insanity, arguments, fights, and then laughter and songs and then more fighting. Are the car rides crazy and insane, or is it that mindless, meaningless movie that they'll remember? Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to one another. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I loved it. Josiah, in praying during worship tonight, said, why don't we live our lives as worship unto the Lord? And in Romans 12, 1, it says, I beg you, brethren, please present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. In the very next verse, it says, do not be conformed to this world. It's hard to be different, but it's what you're called to be. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. God says, understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be unwise, but walk circumspectly, understanding all things from all perspectives. That same book, Ephesians, tells us that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave is in us everywhere we go all the time. Can I ask a question? Why? Is it to live mediocre, meaningless lives that mirror that of the world? I don't think so. Why? Why did he fill us with the power of God? Why? It's because we've been called to be different and to do hard things. Because it's not our strength. But it's not our victory either. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And so tonight, we're just about done. I have a question for you. A question and an assignment, if that's all right. If tonight you're like, you know what? I think I have a problem. I think there's just too much influence going on in my home that is not me or Jesus. It's incredible. Do you know what a lost sheep is? I used to think a lost sheep was a bad, naughty sheep, right? A bad, naughty sheep. These are bad sheep, man. No, they're not prodigals. They're just lost sheep. A lost sheep was just a sheep that's not with the shepherd. That's it. They're not lurking in the shadows. They're not wolves disguised. They're just lost sheep. They're not with the shepherd. And so maybe tonight you're in here and you say, oh, man, maybe I'm not with the shepherd right now. Maybe I've not been discerning what the will of the Lord is. Maybe I've not been focused and seeking and in pursuit of him. I love it. God doesn't say, well, come on back. He says, I will leave the 99 and come and find the one that is lost. But tonight, you don't have to work your way back to Jesus. He's here right now. You just simply let him carry you out of here. That's the trick. You can't go out the same way you came in and be changed. You have to let him carry you out. And so what do you do with all of this, right? Freak out, burn up everything without telling your husband or your wife. There's a lot to be talked about, a lot to be figured out. Next week, there'll be a lot given to you guys in what to do, but this is your assignment for the week, okay? I don't know where I am. Cool. Here's your assignment for the week. I want you to live the next 7 days and just survey your life. What is our family time like? Think, just think. What is my relationship with my kids like? What influence does technology have on me or the world around me? Is my home set aside for the Lord? Is it covered by the blood of the Lamb? Or is it glowing by the light of technology? And as you do, you'll find out. And let the Lord lead you. Do not be unwise, but understand. Be joined together in your mind what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray. Father, tonight, different night maybe, but ask, Lord, that we would not be found guilty of ignoring, not be found guilty of brushing off the challenge before us. Lord, the world we live in, it is what it is, and God, we just ask for strength. We ask for wisdom. We ask for boldness. God, that we would be your people, sanctified, set aside for this special purpose. Lord, that you'd cause us to be faithful in the little things. Lord, how is that the hardest? But God, that you would give us greater faith, that we'd be faithful in the little things. Lord, tonight I ask that for husbands and wives, Lord, they would be on the same page when it comes to their home. Lord, keep the enemy from sowing division. God, that they would be a force unstoppable. The gates of hell would tremble when it comes to the way that they would love and raise their kids. Lord, those that have yet to step into marriage, to step into raising children, Lord, that you would sow such divine wisdom into their lives now. God, that the foundation they build in the months and years to come would be perfect for what you want to do. Father, lead us. Forgive us if we've been wondering, if we've been lukewarm. Forgive us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.